the sweet presence of your Spirit that has filled the air, filled our hearts. As we enter your word, we ask that the same presence go with us. Let this word not just be words, but words backed by your Spirit. Anoint me afresh. Let me speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Let the word flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all our hearts, including mine, particular to cause wills to be more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray that the power of the Spirit of God be released in great measure to back the words. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers over things they hear and are hearers only. Pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of the word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed and said, Amen. Today I have a very important message. It's actually a message that is a spin-off from Pastor Dio's message on Wednesday. And I've entitled it, Setting Your Heart Aright. Psalm 78, and we're going to look at the 8th verse, I believe it is. Psalm 78, and I look at verse 8, I believe it is. Good, it is. I'd like you to read along with me. It says, I might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And as I was reading, I was actually reading my personal Bible reading. This was before Pastor Joey's message, actually. You know, I had prepared the message. So when I heard him preach on Wednesday, I said, yeah, that's in the right direction. That's a witness of the present truth. You see, the Holy Spirit always has a present emphasis. I think it's a very great truth. You know, you can read your Bible generally, and that's one of the reasons why the daily rhemas that you get in Good Morning Jesus form is very important. They're usually present truth. It's what the Spirit of God is giving you that you're going to need in that season in your life. And because it's come from rightly dividing the word, and by the grace of God, mercy of God, and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we don't just pick them out of a hat. You know, the pastors, they pray, you know, Pastor Wally and Pastor Laulu, and we discern what the Spirit of God is saying, you know, that will feed the people. Have you heard this scripture before? And he gave them meat in due season. It's not just meat. It's in due season. He said, blessed is that servant whom when his Lord comes, finds him giving the people their meat in what due season. This is a very important message, and I'd like you to give me your full attention. Here, God is talking about the problem of the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt. The majority of them, the Bible says here that they did not set their heart aright. They were a stubborn and rebellious generation. But don't let that throw you. The real important thing here was, and it still is today, it was their responsibility to set their heart aright. It was their, and the same thing today. It is your responsibility to set your heart aright. He said, they set not. In other words, it was them who didn't do it. The problem that they had, the thing that made them stubborn and rebellious, was a willful sin of omission. They did not set their hearts aright. The corollary is that they had the ability to. If they couldn't do it, God would have been unfair to say they didn't set their heart aright. In other words, they could have set their heart aright, but they chose not to. And the same thing is true today. As a Christian, even though you're born again and all of that, your will, which is, we're talking about your heart, now he's talking about the soul, he's talking about the mind, the will, and the emotions. And in particular, today I am zeroing in on the will. It is your responsibility to set your will aright. Set it aright. You know why? Your will has the tendency to move away from the will of God. And it's not only, it's true for all of us. The people who set their will aright are those who choose to align their will with the will of God. And to prove that it was possible, God gave us a witness in Joshua and Caleb. They came out, it's a very great story. Joshua and Caleb were slaves just like all of them. Joshua was born in Egypt. Caleb was born in Egypt. Caleb and Joshua suffered the same sufferings, you know, of punishment, of the taskmasters that everybody else suffered in Egypt. Joshua and Caleb were with the children of Israel and went through all the same experiences. They all went through all the plagues in Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. They went into the promised land, you know, through the wilderness rather. You know, and God said this about the two of them. He said this particularly about Caleb, but it was true of both of them. He said they had a different spirit. What does that mean? He's not talking that they had a different, all of them were unregenerate men. So it couldn't have been the quality of their spirit. He was talking about their heart. Joshua and Caleb decided to set their heart aright. And that was what made them different from the remaining 3 million. Who perished in the wilderness. You will not perish in the wilderness in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, but you will set your heart aright. It's not automatic. It's not automatic. You have to make up your mind to set your heart aright. I'm going to show you how to do it in a minute. You know, but the important thing we need to understand here is that, you see, many Christians, and this is part of our the dishonesty, handling the word of God deceitfully, the hidden things of dishonesty, always try and push the responsibility back to God. It's not God who set their heart aright. It was Joshua and Caleb who set their heart aright. Did God have a part? Yes. When God sees that you make up your mind, because you see, you're not a robot, and you're allowed to use your free will. When you decide of your own free will to set your heart aright, then God's power will come and back it. But the initiative is with you. If it wasn't with you, then God would do it for everybody. You know, the Bible says God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. It doesn't mean God takes over your will. God, what that scripture means, I'm getting ahead of myself, it's part of what I'm going to share with you. You know, what it actually means is that God will strengthen your will when you are willing. Do you understand? He's not going to come and take over your will. No, God doesn't do that. Satan does that. Have you seen these madmen on the road? Yes, that are totally possessed. Something else has taken over their mind, their will. It's only the devil that does that. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. But if you will say, Holy Spirit, possess me, he will possess you. But it must be you who gives him the permission. It's good to be Holy Ghost possessed. Some guys are demon possessed, but we're Holy Ghost possessed. That's why people don't like us. Amen. We're full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But you see, all that I'm doing, I'm not being forced. I will pray with the Spirit. I will sing with the Spirit. I will groan in the Spirit. It's my will. So it's very important to understand this truth. And that's the reason why these guys missed their destiny. But God did not leave himself with a wider witness. And he preserved Joshua and Caleb. It's an amazing truth there. You know, the same conditions, the same Egypt, the same Pharaoh, the same conditions. Why were they different? Their choices. They set their hearts aright. Now, I want to share a truth with you that you probably know, but maybe you're not very conscious of, and you have not deliberately practiced, you know, consciously. You know, there's some things we do unconsciously. There's some things the Holy Spirit just helps, you know, just helps you. You do it, but you don't really know what you did, and it works. But you know, but God wants us to now be conscious of it. It is very important to make deliberately, of your own free will, deliberate choices inside your heart. You and God make up your mind about certain things. You tell God, this is what I'm going to do, and I want you to help me. And you have a meeting, and you set it. You know, I did that as a young man. I was talking about later on in my testimony. What I did deliberately. I've said it many times over the years. It was a cold-blooded decision. It wasn't an easy decision. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell anybody. I just knew in my heart that if I stayed in England, I would not do the things I should do spiritually. I would not be able to learn what I should learn. And I didn't know where that thing would end. It was like seeing two roads. This one looks okay in the natural. But if I don't have God with me, something can happen. This other one is not so rosy, but God is there. So if God is there, this one, even if there's going to be difficulty, God will be with me and he will help me. So I chose that one. I did it deliberately. I set it. And all these years, by the mercy and the grace of God, I've been resetting. And I'm going to explain why in a minute. Look at Psalm 16, verse 8. It's a great scripture about David. Psalm 16, that's the word again. They say, I have said. Turn to your neighbor and say, have you said? Notice again, it's David that did this. It wasn't God who did it. Now, after David did it, God strengthened it. But it was David that did it. Say, I have said, the Lord always before me. He did it. That was why David had a different spirit from his brothers. Just like Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit from the 12 spies and the other people. It was a deliberate personal decision. I have said. I have said. I have said. The Lord always before me. So I do it deliberately. I set the word always before me because he is at my right hand. Now, we know that physically God was not at David's right hand. But what he meant was that David was always looking to God at his right hand by faith. It says this in the book of Hebrews. I don't want to, you know, veer off into that rabbit trail, but I'll just hit it running. You know, he says, Moses, you know, he endured as seeing him that is what? Invisible. You see God. Now, of course, you're not seeing him with these two physical eyes. You're seeing him in your mind, you know, by faith. Now, watch this. Do you know that if the light goes off now, we're in the afternoon, so it's not. But if we're able to darken all these windows and switch off all these lights, you won't see anything. Why? Because it takes the light bouncing off an object to enter into your retina to, you know, trigger all the nerve endings over there and send the signals to your brain for you to see. Light, one definition of light, it has many definitions. One definition of light is the energy that gives the ability to see. It's a form of energy. Now watch this. You cannot see spiritual things if you don't have spiritual light in your mind. Just like you cannot see physical things if you don't have physical light in your eyes. That's why so many Christians are blind.
That's why the Apostle Paul prayed that prayer, that the eyes of your understanding, the Amplified Bible says, be flooded with light. It is when there is light in your mind, you can set the Lord before you. Because you can't see him, the invisible, without that spiritual light in your mind. And that's why so many Christians are walking around in darkness. It doesn't mean they are bad people. That darkness doesn't mean that, you know, they're wizards or witches and that kind of thing. No. It's just ignorance. Because there's no light. There's no light. There's very little light in their minds. So they can't see God. And when they don't see God, they can't set him always before them. And when they don't set him always before them, they have not set their heart aright. So it's very, very crucial to understand this. And we find this truth both for sinner as well as for Christian. Look at Romans chapter 2. And I'm looking at verses 14 and 15. Romans, the second chapter, verses 14 and 15. And one of my favorite scriptures in recent times, I've been meditating on it and meditating on it and meditating on it. You know, I'll tell you a secret, you know, that will help you. You know, that's why when you pray in tongues a lot and you read your, you do your daily Bible reading, you know, you give the Holy Spirit material. When I say I'm meditating on something, it doesn't mean I'm sitting down with the Bible 24 hours a day and I'm looking at it. No. You know, I might be doing physics, or I might be, you know, praying a message, or I might be doing something else, or I might even be with my friend, I might be watching television, and the Holy Spirit will start reminding me of a scripture, and he'll start enlightening me and talking about it to me while I'm still in this other natural thing I'm doing. And you're supposed to do that all day long. Thou shalt meditate upon this word day and night. The Holy Spirit can help you to do that. Now, see, for the Gentiles, I didn't hear you. I did not hear you, oh. Which have not the law. Stop. What do you mean law? Let's just, you know, define it in a very simple way. You know, the Ten Commandments. You see, before Moses, there was no Ten Commandments. The law had not been formalized, but there was a law. How did Abimelech know that it was against the law to sleep with Sarah, Abraham's wife? There was no, at that time, Moses had not even been born. There was no Ten Commandments. There was no law that says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But when God appeared to Abimelech in a dream and told him, he said, the woman you have taken is another man's wife. Immediately Abimelech said, God, you know that in the integrity of my heart I have done this, for he told me she was his sister. So Abimelech knew that it was against the law of God to take another man's wife without a law. There was no law. The Gentiles which have not the law. How did Abimelech know? His conscience. You see, God's laws are already known to all human beings. That's why the Bible says they have no excuse. You know, it may not be formally, it may not have been formalized to you, it may not have been written to you, but deep, you know why you are made in the image and likeness of God. Even in your fallen state, you know certain things are right and certain things are wrong. We call it conscience. Now watch these guys. He says, for the Gentiles, which have not the law, do. Everybody scream, do. Do. So they are doers of the word. He said, they have not the law, but they do it. By nature, the things contained in the law. How can somebody who is not a godly person, who is not born again, how can he do the law? We know the law is difficult to do, but the Bible says he does it. Hallelujah. It's by the mercy of God. This is what God does. He's doing it every day. Do you understand? His eyes are going to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then when people set their heart aright by the right choice, the mercy of God backs it and they do it. That's why you can have what we call good unbelievers. in quotes. You see, an unbeliever, he won't smoke, he won't drink, he won't womanize. He's not born again. No. He's doing by nature the things that are contained in the law. So I don't care his religious tag. Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim. You see, religious tags make us fight each other. I don't care what religious tag a man has. What I look at is his heart. When I meet people, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, show me the heart. I don't care the title. Because if the heart is right, he has already been in contact with my God. For the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Next verse. It's a great scripture. Which show the works of the law. The Holy Ghost is walking inside there. They're not Christians, oh. God is great. Hallelujah. The work of the law written in their hearts. Stop. Who wrote it? Who wrote it? Who wrote it in their heart? They don't have a Bible. They don't go to church. But they know. That explains. This scripture set me free when I was a young Christian. What happened to our fathers and our forefathers before the missionaries came? Christians that are unlearned and unstable. They go and say, all those people went to hell. Who are you? Who are you? Do you know what God was doing in their hearts? The Bible says that they did by nature the things contained in the law. This is before Jesus came. Now Jesus has come. If you hear the gospel and you reject it, you go to hell. But people who don't hear, who have never heard and all that, God's judging by the law of conscience. Otherwise, God would be unfaithful. And he's not. Hallelujah. It's one of the reasons, it's just, free of charge by the side. It's one of the reasons why Jesus had to go to preach to the spirits in prison. Because they didn't go to heaven, they went to Abraham's bosom. But they were kept there pending the time Jesus would come. So when Jesus came, what that law that they had been obeying in their heart, Jesus just came, cashed it in, and took them to heaven. Don't read the Bible upside down and tell, say silly things with your mouth you don't know. Which work, which show, I didn't hear you. The work of the law. Written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, their thoughts. I would say thoughts. The meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. In other words, in every human heart, constantly there's a judgment going on. It's not only true for sinners, it's also true for Christians. Yeah. What do you do with it? Yes or no? Do you make the right choices at the heart level? This is a great truth. Guard your heart. This is the most precious thing you can do to yourself, children. Make sure when your heart tells you to do the right thing, agree with God. Set your will. You may not have all the power and strength to do everything perfectly. God knows that. God sees your heart. Once that will is set, they say, God, give me mercy. Mercy, help me. You find he'll help you. He'll help you. God is a good God. Come on, folks. If he will help the unbeliever, how much more his children? If he will help the guy who, the Gentiles, which know the law, how much more his children? Hallelujah. That's why this message is so important. About set your heart right. You got to make, always do it. I know probably you do it unconsciously, but now start doing it deliberately and consciously, to set your will in line with what the Holy Spirit tells you, in line with the Word of God. God, yeah, I agree with that. I'll do it. Now, why is this so important? When we are inside this world, we are being buffeted by tribulations, temptations and affliction. So there is always a tendency for the will you set to become upset.
I'll say it again.
Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. Folks, take it to the bank. Nobody said amen. Whether you say amen or not, it's true. You're going to have tribulation. So long as you are inside this world, unless you want to die right now and go to heaven. But if you're going to stay here for another 24 hours, trust me, certain things will come. They may start immediately after church. When you step out of that door, something will happen. This person will phone. This will happen. We're constantly buffeted by, watch this, wrong thoughts, wrong feelings. Two of them. Feelings in the emotions, feelings in the body. And what triggers what happens? See, this is deep, detailed analysis. What triggers what you feel? Think about it deeply. What triggers what you feel about something? Thoughts and circumstances. The combination, you hear something, you get a thought, and then something happens in circumstances and it makes you feel bad. It makes you feel sorrowful. Or it makes you feel joyful. Makes you feel elated. Whether positive or negative, it all comes from thoughts and circumstances. Satan, the prince of the power of the air, that's his specialty. What he does, and you know, when it's good to understand what the enemy, one of the greatest things in any warfare is intelligence. See, when I understand my enemy and what he's trying to do, when he comes, I'm ready for him. When I don't understand my enemy, he can come and slip in on my blind side. But when I know what he was, I know where you're coming from. And immediately, my guard is up. Are you listening to me? So when things happen, don't just think it's things. And forget about human beings. That's not your problem. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. They are just tools. They are pawns in a chess game. Do you understand? This person says this, or does this, or breaks something in the house, and immediately you want to get angry. Then you remember, this guy is trying to set me up, and he just found a sandpaper to use. So I will correct what they have done, but I will not yield to the anger and sin. Because I know it's the enemy. Because if I yield to that thing and I get angry or sorrowful or any other negative emotion, you know what's going to happen? It's going to upset my will. Matthew chapter 26. This is the classic example. The Lord Jesus himself and the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 38 through 41. Matthew 26, verses 38 through 41. Jesus is approaching the cross. He's less than 24 hours away from it. He's known it all these years. He's been talking about it. The Son of Man will go to Jerusalem. The Gentiles will arrest him. And they will take him and they will kill him. And the third day he will... He knows it. He's been saying it. But he's now faced with its actual reality. It's less than 24 hours away. The Passover dinner has been eaten. Judas has gone out. He's gone to meet the Pharisees and the high priests. He's actually on his way to come and arrest them. They go to this garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knows. That's why I say you have to do this now consciously, not unconsciously anymore. He knows what's going on around him spiritually, and he knows his goal. But just like us, because he was a man like us, you never forget that thing. That's why he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It's one of the things that makes him a merciful and faithful high priest. You see, he was somebody who was immunized, who was protected from what we felt. He could never be a good high priest. The reason that makes him a faithful high priest is because he was tempted in every way like as we are. He felt the same emotions. He felt the anger. He felt the pain. No problem is that he never yielded to them. He never allowed any of them to overcome him to sin. Finish. But he felt it. So what happened here was this. As the hours began to draw near, he goes to Gethsemane with his 12 disciples, except for Judas, 11 of them. He leaves 8 of them. They're all, you know, with him, but he leaves them at a distance. Then he takes Peter, James, and John. Then he leaves them too at a distance. Then he goes alone. There's a place where you have to pray alone. So when he now tells them what is happening on the inside of the soul level, prof. Look at what he says. He says, then saith he unto them. Them who? Them apostles. Them Peter, James, and John. He says to them, my soul is a little sorrowful. Oh, shouted somebody. There's a great key here. It's not just a little. He was being bombarded by satanic thoughts and feelings that normally human beings were. You have never, you see, in our modern world, you don't know what a crucifixion is like. You don't, you know. The only film that came close to it is The Passion. I always recommend this. Anytime you feel you are suffering for Jesus, go and watch The Passion. When you finish watching The Passion, your head will come down. Praise the Lord. When you feel, God hasn't done this and God has not, just go and watch The Passion. Then let them do that for you. Then we will know whether you're ready to suffer for Jesus or not. You know, these modern day Christians, we don't know, we know very little about tribulation. You know, every little thing, you know, it rains, we won't come to church. Yes, go slow in the car, we get upset with God. Hello, somebody. Hello? Little things that are totally inconsequential. What will happen if they arrest you and tie you to the stocks and whip the skin off your back? Will you still love Jesus? I didn't hear anything. I was waiting for a resounding yes. Nobody said a word. The crucifixion, there were two things Jesus was looking at. And Satan was reminding him through his thoughts and his feelings. The first one was the physical one, which was terrible. Because Jesus lived, you know, it was the Jewish in the time of the Romans. They were regularly crucifying armed robbers and all of that. Everybody knows the kind of death crucifixion is. Forget all those pictures you buy in Dubai. Amen. He was stripped naked. Forget all that rubbish, you know. It is the height of disgrace. Here is a rabbi who's been preaching for 3 years. Everybody knows him, the rabbi from Nazareth. He always wore nice clothes, woven and without seams. Amen. But he was going to be stripped, and he knew it. If that was not bad enough, they were now, after stripping him, they were going to nail him. Forget these religious pictures. It was 2 pounds nails. It created a hole. You could see daylight through them. When Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin, this many years ago, one of the visions, Ken Hagin too, you know, like all of us, we all have all these religious silly ideas in our head. You know, it's just one little tiny nail that they put here. Mm-mm. So Jesus wanted to lay hands. He asked Kenneth Hagin to stretch forth his hands. And he wanted to give Kenneth Hagin a special anointing to heal the sick. So when Ken Hagin now stretched forth his hands, Jesus now stretched forth his own hands to put the anointing on them. He could see daylight through the hands. He said, ha! Ken Hagin was writing this. He said, that's what Thomas saw. When Jesus came and said, behold my hands and my side. Even though it was a glorified body, those holes remain there as a testimony throughout eternity. Am I talking to anybody here? So they drove They drove it through. After they had beaten him with 40 stripes, it was not this kind of koboko abilala that we have today. It had knives and it had all kinds of nails and something. So when they beat you, the thing goes round and they pull it. When they pull it, it tears the skin. That's why they call it correction at the stocks. Go and watch the movie. Then go home tonight. That's an assignment. So you can stop all your complaints. It wasn't one. They gave him 40. He was thinking of all of that. Ah! My soul is exceedingly sorrowful. It's something to talk about when it's 3 years' time. But it's tomorrow. So his emotions were in a mess. Then apart from that, that's the physical. When he left his body, he's going to go to hell. He knew that too. Because he knows the scripture. Thou will not leave my soul in hell. But it will go there. If he didn't go to hell, you're not going to heaven, folks. The only reason why you're going to heaven is because he went to hell. Forget your religion. Forget your tradition. Reality. Because he's going to hell that paid for the price so that you don't go. Ah! When he was confronted with all of that. Satan is a bad person. Oh. He will be telling you. I was quoting scripture. No, he knows how to twist the scripture. You know you are going to hell. They will beat you. They will disgrace you. You. And I gave you the chance. I gave you the chance on the Mount of Transfiguration. I told you. Remember I told you. That if you just bow to me, I'll give you all the kingdom. See now. See what you have allowed yourself to fall into. And you know, Jesus didn't fall for it, but it affected him. I like the Bible because it's an honest book. God is honest. He wasn't a walkover. He said, my soul is exceedingly. That's why he didn't say sorrowful. He said, exceedingly. Even unto death. And that operation in the emotions shifted the will. It shifted it. That's why he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Watch this statement. It's a great statement. Nevertheless, not what I will. Stop! Before you go to the next verse. Before you go to the next thing. What then was his will? His will was not to go again. The will had shifted. It had shifted. Nevertheless, not what I will, but as thou wilt. The sorrow in the soul had shifted the will. It happens to all of us every day. You come out of the house, you want to do the will of God. You've prayed and everything, you're up and all. Then suddenly, some guy comes up. Or some person comes up. Or some circumstance situation comes up. Your soul is exceedingly grieved. And they say something they shouldn't say. And they do something. Before you know, your will has shifted. You see, I'm bringing it out because it happens. It's just that we're not conscious of what's happening. The will has shifted because of the upset in the emotions. So what do you do? What he did? You go back to God. So Jesus, knowing, because Jesus had understanding of all these things, he understood spiritual things. So he knew it had shifted. So he had to go back to God. Why do you think he prayed for 3 hours? Do you know how much spiritual power it takes to, first of all, attenuate? The word attenuate comes from, you know, electromagnetics. You know, it means to reduce. When you reduce a signal, you understand? The first thing you have to do is to attenuate the sorrow. Bring it down. Do you understand? So where there is sorrow, you bring joy and peace. So the force of peace and joy will now reduce and bring down the sorrow. He had to pray those things through. He went first hour. He said, watch and pray here with me. Then he went, he prayed. But the job wasn't done yet. So he came back and he was looking for prayer support. They were sleeping. Please don't sleep in good morning, Jesus. Don't sleep at any time. Amen. We need that prayer support. Your brethren that are weaker than you need your prayer support. How dare you sleep? Even though they were not physically together, Jesus was over there. They were there, but what they were doing was affecting what he was doing. Am I talking to anybody? That's why the cyber upper room works. It's not based on physical location, it's based on spiritual connection. Am I talking to anybody here? So watch this. So he prays the first hour and he brings the thing down a little bit. But it's not set yet. So he goes to check for prayer support. They're weak, they're tired, they're sleeping. He understands. He doesn't get angry. He just, oh gosh. Ah, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? All right, don't worry. He goes, prays another hour. Goes back and checks again. They're still, in fact, they're sleeping now more than they were sleeping at the beginning. Let me just say this on the side. You know, it's just, you know, free of charge. Do you understand? When you want to pray, demons in the air work upon your mind and your emotions to try and make you sleep. Fight it. I've seen it so many times. The same person who is feeling sleepy, just give him, you know, a magazine or you know, Vanguard or show a television and the sleep will go. Then you know that an enemy has done this. Many of that, especially when you want to pray, sometimes it's natural because you're tired and you've not slept enough and all of that. But many times it's demonic. When I say demon, I'm not saying you're demon possessed. I'm saying the power of the prince of the air is working on your emotions, working on your body to try and make you sleep when you should pray. Understand it and bind him in the air. That's why we bind the devil. I'm sure you haven't heard that before. Bind the devil in the air. Until God taught me to, I'd never heard anybody say it. But that's, you know, we always bind the devil in the wrong places. You know, putting the blood of Jesus on the highway and all of that. No, bind the guy in the air, silly. Bind him in the air, and that power to be able to do anything is there. And then you now take over the air by the Holy Spirit. So instead of the devil or bring the power, prince of the power of the air, you become the prince of the power of the air in that region. Take a Roma Shafrenes. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So he prayed. It attenuated the sorrow. And then said, nevertheless, not I will, but as thou wilt. Then he reset the will. He realigned it back to the will of God. Watch this. Then after he had reset the will, he now established it with another phase of prayer. You know, it's one thing to set something in the right direction. Then you now take a screw and a screwdriver and a bolt. Then you now squeeze it and then you now tighten it and then you set it so that nothing can move it. Then after he had set his will, by that time the 3 hours was over. He now got up and said, sleep on now. He said, he that betrayeth me is at hand. He was ready now. But he was not ready 3 hours earlier. Is it clear? You need to set your will daily, weekly, monthly. One of the reasons, not the only reason, one of the reasons why God instituted communion was to set the will. That's why we take communion. Because when you come to the communion table, you now do a self-estimation of what you have done and things that have gone wrong. Then you're honest. That's how you take it worthily. When you just eat the bread and the wine because the wine is sweet and you don't understand what you're doing, you're taking it unworthily. But you take it with understanding. Then you now say you judge yourself. Then you set your will. Then you now take the wine, which is the blood that cleanses the sin of, you know, where you've gone wrong and the will has been in the wrong place. Then you now take the bread. When you take the bread, you now receive Zoe. Life goes in and fixes the will back. That's the essence of communion. Are you listening to me? Okay. So the Lord Jesus resets his will in Gethsemane. Then he now stood up to his full stature. Said, rise up now. He that betrays me is at hand. And from that time on, the will does not waver. They take him to the house of Annas and Caiaphas. Can you imagine having it? How many people have seen a court holding at 12 a.m. in the morning? Except in Nigeria. God is blessing Nigeria. We've sang it today. Amen. You know, it's when they want to do magu-magu. That's when you... Who has ever heard of doing court at 12 o'clock at night? You wait in the morning when people can come and the witnesses can come. Then, you know, the other person can bring his lawyer and he can argue his case. Had no lawyer, nothing. You know, they just grabbed him, put him in shackles, took him to the high priest at 2 a.m. in the morning. When there was nobody there except themselves. That's why it was an unjust trial. Jesus is there. They're asking him all kinds of questions. They're saying all kinds of things. They even slap him. Bible says he answered them not a word. The will was set. The power of the Holy Spirit has set that will. No amount of provocation, no amount of negative thing could change it. You need to become like that. I just got a word. The rock of Gibraltar. Be like a rock yourself. You can become like Jesus, where your will too is set. No matter the provocation, no matter what men say and do, it will not change your will. But it took 3 hours of prayer to do it. You have to labor in the word and in the spirit. It's not something that just, it's not automatic. Jesus knew it wasn't automatic. So it took him time. But he got it done. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. If you can't say, oh me. If you can't if you can clap for yourself, at least clap for him. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Hallelujah. Okay. And so, you need to set your will like this on a daily basis. I'm going to close in a few minutes. It's one of the reasons why one of the first prayers God gave me. You see those prayers in the little blue book? What we call, you know, our love prayers. I didn't pick them out of a hat. They were given to me. They were constructed by the Holy Spirit. Each line, and you will find that I put a scripture behind it. So you will know where I got it from. I put a scripture behind it. One of the first things you say is, I choose to fear God. What are you doing? Setting your will. At the beginning of every day, you choose to fear God. You set your will to the fear of God, because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, David talking, no, sorry, Solomon, he said, they did not choose the fear of God. It was their choice. They refused to make the right choice. They did not set their heart aright. There are all those other love prayers, you know, nothing shall offend me. And we have a lot of confessions like that, but you know, all those prayers have all kinds of things built inside them. What is it doing? That's why when you put on the armor of God, you are literally, apart from, you know, your will, you're also dealing with your mind, your emotions and your circumstances. But I'm focusing now on the will. You are literally setting your will to walk in the love of God for that day. After all the upsets of the day before. Because during the day before, you have been buffeted here, buffeted there, tribulation, disappointments, injury, pride, rebellion, or you've gone through all kinds of things. So you must reset it at the beginning of the new year. See, you're not just praying a prayer. There's a spiritual operation going on. You are praying a prayer, but you are praying a prayer with understanding. You now know what you're doing. You're doing it consciously. And one of the reasons why we not only say it in the understanding, but we also pray in tongues, is because the power of the Holy Spirit now releases the force to set the words that have been said in the right place. So it's not enough for me to just say it with my mouth. I need the Holy Spirit. Is it clear? So that's how you set your will. And you do it regularly. You do it daily, in the way I've described. You know, there's another confession where, you know, I even call it setting the will. You know, you set your will. You set your will. You set your will. Then anytime we take communion, you set your will. You know, you don't have to wait for communion to set your will. Praise the Lord. Amen. Communion is just a ceremonial thing that we do, which is great, you know, and Jesus told us to do it in remembrance of Him, and we do it as often as we can. But the important thing is that the very essence of it you should do daily, weekly, monthly, because we're all going through buffeting all the time. You might have a great something today. 6 hours down the road, the thing has, it's like wind. You know, when there's rain or there's tornado, or we don't have tornado, thank God. Yesterday we were thanking God in Nigeria for Nigeria. Ah, God will not let us see what they have seen. America has had about 4 or 5 of them this year alone. You know, and we have our own Atlantic Ocean here. We have never had a typhoon. We will not. Jeff, Lord, move me, babe. Jesus, Joe. Ah! We don't have any emergency system. There is no infrastructure. It will be a disaster beyond unknown proportions if Nigeria should face any type of major natural disaster. We have a little flood in the Niger and all that, and it's bad. I'm not, you know, I sympathize with people it's happening to. But it's nothing like, oh, God forbid. We must not see it all. You know, God put the African continental plate. He put it on a firm footing. Go and check the geography. See, Africa and South America were together before. You go and look at the map, you will see it. Then many, many eons ago, you know, there was a tectonic slide. So they separated from each other to create the oceans between us. Amen. God knew from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Say, AJ, let me stabilize this place. Because these other ones, they will cope. This one. Thank God. I'm not talking to anybody here. Amen. There's plenty to thank God for. Hello, somebody. Are you listening to me? Okay, let me close. So we need to set our wills. Don't be like that rebellious generation. They did not set their will aright. I said this in the morning, and I just use it to close. You know, Ephesians 6. And mommy said it, you know, about the Good Morning Jesus prayers. The prayers that are there, they didn't pick them out of a book, out of a heart. Each thing is in its place, is in order. And you see it in Ephesians 6. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rules of darkness of this world. We get spirits in heavenly places. Wherefore means wherefore. Because of this reason. Because you are not dealing with things you can see. You are not dealing with enemies you can see. You are dealing with principalities and powers, wicked spirits in the heavenly places. You need the whole armor of God, not a part of it. The whole. Let's say it in simple English, all of the fruit of the Spirit. All of it. You need love, you need joy, you need peace, you need long-suffering, you need gentleness, you need goodness, you need faithfulness, you need meekness, you need self-control, and you need patience. And you need to inject them. I use that word because I'm looking at the concept of spiritual forces. You need to inject those spiritual forces into the mind, the will, the emotions, the body, the circumstances, so that you are cloaked in armor. Have you noticed the riot squad? Pastor G, what do they call those guys? SWAT schemes. Have you noticed when they are going in for an operation, they are clothed from top to bottom? Why? Because they know bullets are going to fly. But if I have on my bulletproof vest, the armor of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, if I have it on, I have the helmet of salvation. Do you understand? Even my knees, everything is padded. So when I go into that battle, and bullets, the fiery darts of the wicked, and bullets are flying left, right, and center. Hit me here, hit me in my heart, hit me in my leg. Some even hit me in my head, but there's protection. Hallelujah. I keep fighting. The greatest disaster you can have is a Christian that goes into the spirit and tries to pray in the spirit without an armor. Oh, they will have him for lunch. And sadly, many Christians do. They go into the prayer battle without. Notice the praying in the spirit is the last thing. The armor comes first. Without the armor, the tongues isn't going to be very effective. Satan will see to that. And you know, we've noticed something. You know, we've been praying in this church for many, many years. You know, my wife and I and all the intercessors we've had. We used to call it Travelers Band before then. It matters to lead intercessors and so on and so forth. You know, and I thank God for this church. And I say this to the glory of God. And again, I'm going to say something I'm saying and I learned to say. You know, I yet not I. So we're not boasting. We boast in the Lord and His grace and His mercy upon our lives. You know, you see in this church you can pray. You see people praying 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours in the spirit. Go and check other places. I'm not saying this in a derogatory kind of way. I'm teaching. And I want it to be better for all of us, the whole body of Christ. Why is it that most people can't pray for more than 15 minutes in tongues continuously? I'm talking about intense intercession. They can't pray. They can't pray an hour. You know why? They've entered a battle without an armor. By the time he's 15 minutes in that place, he has been struck with so many in the guy. He backs out. He went in without an armor. And they were fighting us, Pastor Wega, because we have light scriptures and all that. That's your armor! Go and look at those light scriptures. You will find that each of them addresses different things. My soul will not cleave unto the dust. They are all dealing with all these different things. So when you enter the battle and the bullets start flying, you can stand. Having done all to stand, stand. When you put on your armor properly, you set your will, you put on your armor properly, you can stay in a firefight for 6 hours. It's not as if bullets are not flying, but you're protected. It comes against your heart, it bounces off. It comes against your head, it bounces off. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. When you learn to set your heart aright, then you will experience the reality of the scripture. It is God that works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. You set your will, then God will now strengthen your will. Let us pray. Set your heart aright. Don't go into a prayer battle without your armor. That's why the dominion of love is number one. Seek first the kingdom. Don't start praying about money and all of that until you, first of all, you know, put the dominion of the kingdom in your soul, body, and circumstances. Then you can go and start praying about other things. And that's why even the Lord's Prayer starts with, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." It's after that He says, "Now give us our daily bread." You cannot get daily bread if you haven't brought the kingdom. Talk to God. Talk to God this afternoon and set your heart aright. Set your will. And remember, even Jesus had to do it. That's why I use it. Jesus is the head of the church. He's the most spiritual person amongst all of us. If Jesus had to do it, trust me, you have to. And all that, you know, all that commotion had shifted His will a little bit. He had to set it back. You and I go through the same thing every day. You know, that's why you pray every day. That's why every morning you get up. That's why the Good Morning Jesus platform is so good for you. You know, it takes you through all of these prayers in an abridged form, but you know, and because of the corporate anointing, it helps you, it strengthens you. You know, you set your will. I choose to fear God. You set that will back after all the upsets of the day before. Set your heart aright. Don't be like the children of Israel, a stubborn and rebellious generation. They did not set. It was their responsibility. They didn't do it. You do yours. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Ever let it be that I praise you. Ever let it be that I will please you. Ever let it be that I will turn away. This is a great prayer. It's not just a song. It's a prayer that addresses what I've been preaching. Hallelujah.
Ever let it be that I would plead of you. Never let there be any gods above you. Never let it be that I will praise you.
Hallelujah.
Let it be that I would please you. Never let it be that I would turn away.
Hallelujah. Sing it to him. Pray it. It's a prayer.
Ever let it be that I would love you. Never let there be any gods above you. Ever let it be that I would sing your praise. Always and forever, keep me walking in your way.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Never let me go astray.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Always and forever lead me.
I need you.
To you day by day. Never let it be.
Never let it be.
Let it be that I will sing your praise.
Ever let it be. Start from the beginning again. One more time. Sing it from the heart with meaning.
Ever let it be that I would praise you. Ever let it be.
Hallelujah.
Ever let it be that I would love you.
Oh God!
Never let there be any gods above you. Always and forever keep me.
hallelujah.
Never let it be.
Your heart, raise the other hand to God. Brethren, I have discovered that Christianity at the fundamental level all comes back to the heart. That's why this message is one of the most important messages you may have heard, and that you need to actually practice setting your heart aright. I know you love God, but your heart can shift. If Jesus' heart under pressure, under sorrow, could shift a little bit from what he knew was the will of God, and he had to pray back, who are you? Raise that hand.
Always and forever.
Key is a great prayer.
Walking in your way.
Never.
Never let.
It means I can.
Me go astray.
It's a great prayer, brethren. Always and forever. What a prayer.
Always and forever. Lead.
I need you. Day by day. Hallelujah.
Never let it be.
Never let it be.
Never let it be.
Never let it be. The Lord will see your prayer.
Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today, reminding me of my responsibility to set my heart aright daily. I recognize I can't do it without you. But I also recognize it is my responsibility to initiate it. And when I do, you will now help me. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me to be faithful. Give me mercy to be faithful. To choose your fear daily. To choose to walk in your love daily. Not to allow the tribulations, the sorrows, the pride of life, the lusts of the flesh of this world to offend me and cause me to stumble and shift my will from your will. God, I recognize the challenges, but I thank you. Your word tells me in the world I will have tribulation, but I shall be of good cheer because you have overcome the world. You work in me to will and to do of your good pleasure. And because of that, I go with confidence, not in myself, but in your mercy and grace, to strengthen my will when I have set it. God, help me daily, weekly, monthly, regularly, to set my will so I will live constantly in your will, in Jesus' name. Neka sheketo fredengas, lupriketolo moshala, lambriketo frenes. Nongar shakuto fres. Nara shaliki ko fres. Lo pridia. Negro shoko fres. Lo pridia katu fris. Langar shtekito fres. Labrakal tolomotolo moko gogomotolo anambrado frido frishi. Tu fris. Nombrakatolo moko gogomotolo an tu fris. Zifres. Lambrakamatolo moko gogomotolo an frido frishi. Sefriga kagamatolo mas tu fresh, lambra kagamatolo mas shakaras. Tofriya Zofre Ombra Gaga Glamasu Zefri Zafre Lombra Gatolomogromatolom Tufris Zefres Nefris Nekatush Kofres Lugaradolos Nefridilis Nofredeles Jiketofres Nongaras Nofridis Lombrideles Jiketufridis Lombridilis Nangar Tuskofredes Lombridilis Zehiketufres Nongaras. In Jesus' name. Touch your body. Raise your hand to God. We just receive our healing. We've said this many, many times. I mean, I've said it in recent times. But you see, healing is from inside. It starts, the doctors will tell you, at the cellular subatomic level. They're now discovering what is known as gene therapy. Because the real problem is at the genetic level. And what are genetics anyway? They are simply chemical bonds. What are chemical bonds? Interactions of electron clouds. I'm saying it in a simple way so you can get it. All the guy needs to do is just slip one electron. Just ping. And the whole system becomes erratic. Just one ping. He just put a little force on one electron and it jumps from one orbital to the other and your whole genetic thing is messed up. It's not a big deal. The reason why we pray is we release spiritual forces into the mind, the will, the inside my physical body, into my DNA. So when the enemy hits one electron, I push it back. Thank you, Dr. Williams, you got it. I reset that electron. You will not jump from this orbital to that orbital. You will stay where God puts you so that the configuration will remain health. Because any other configuration, apart from the one that God did, is known as sickness. When you understand it that way, nobody has to beg you to pray. Now touch your body. Raise your hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins, so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. I say, by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection, life and power, I am healed. I live in divine healing and health. So I keep the laws of hygiene, natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. I release healing virtue into my physical body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my kidney, my liver, my internal organs, into every blood vessel, into the nucleus of every blood vessel, into my DNA, to preserve them the way God created them, so I will continue to live in divine health in Jesus' name. Now it's fire by the Spirit. Now you know what you're doing. Zele prikitofrenes. Zifri. Lopri mashala. Loprenanga tufrenes. Laprika stofre. Ninger dolomashalika. Langer dolomashaki tufrenes. Ninger chromatolos. Vredes. Jikata fredel. Number della mashalia. Yeah, yeah. No fridika shoko. Lambra katulomosh. Lapredeles. Nongaros. Lupridis. Zefria. Lambra de la Mashala. Lombria katufres. Lobrakash. Lombra gomatulomatufre dufreshi. Ningerdolomatala mastufres. Lombra gomatufre. Lombra gomatulomashahia. Yakatufrides. No fridis. No fridiles. Jikas. No fridis. Lombridis. No fridelas. Lombridis. Jika tufre, nombre dolo, neach sofrenes, sofrenes, laprika tufredes, loprodas sakash, yika tufredela, luprides, negirdos kafredes, loprideas, nofredes, niasha, yika tufre, nungask. In Jesus' name. Mommy, join me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ, in Jesus' name. Lord, impart unto you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you daily set your heart aright. God bless you. Have a great day.